Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Once upon an office so dreary, Wendy's HR presentation made everyone weary.
Was it a bore?
A snore. Could have used more charm, for sure.
That's it?
Wendy opened Canva, looking ecstatic. She began to work her magic.
Docs, prints, presentations galore. All in one design. Not dull anymore.
The next day, Wendy wowed the crowd. They clapped loud.
I feel so proud.
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at Canva.com.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
It's time to play the game. Time to play the game.
It may be the nighttime,
but the sports talk doesn't stop.
Sports talk radio that's live, local,
and not for the faint of heart.
Oh, you didn't know?
Sometimes angry.
Loud noises!
Telling it like it is.
You insulted him a little bit. You got a little out of order yourself.
And pretty much always right.
Don't ever argue with the big dog. Big dog is always right.
Text or call 404-741-0929 and be part of the show.
Well, we're waiting.
Live from the Kia Studios, it's time for the John Chuckery Show. Serving you up sports on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
And welcome into Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Yes, it is time for the John Chuckery Show. Hanging out with you here on this Tuesday evening in the Kia Studios. Going to be with you for the full three, baby. We ask you to download the Odyssey app. You're not in the car as much. You want to listen in. Put the Odyssey app on one of your devices today. You can use your smartphone. You can use your Alexa speakers. You can use your tablet. You can use your Casio watch, your Nikon camera, your answering machine. Whatever your device is, just download it on something to be able to catch us when you're on the go. Social media is at 929TheGame on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. And as always, best way to be a part of the show, follow us on our personal Twitter pages. I am at JMCH316. That is your water cooler talking points 3 to 6 months in advance of anybody else that is out there. Producing the show, as always, Day-Day is in the house at the D. Lewis for real. Well, a lot to get caught up on here. We're going to touch briefly in this segment on the Falcons and what happened. We'll get deeper into it in about 20 minutes from right now. But, look, it wasn't pretty. And when you don't control the line of scrimmage on either side of the football, you have those kinds of issues. And I got into all kinds of arguments about, oh, the defense and all that. Oh, okay. Jared Goff completed 71.4% of his passes in the first half. He was 67%, didn't turn the football, or sorry, had the one turnover. 67% overall completion percentage. Again, you let quarterbacks throw for 67%, you're going to get picked apart. You're going to get picked apart. But we'll get deeper into all of this. Now, just, Day-Day, for craps and giggles, Can we hear our Josh Kendall clip? Can we just hear our Josh Kendall clip just real quickly?
Can we just the more you look at the advanced analytics, the more you see how valuable sacks are.
Okay. The NFL played this weekend, right? Okay. So in the NFL this weekend, just to back this up, because I wanted to see, you know, again, because Desmond Ridder took six sacks in that game, and he lost, right? I mean, the Falcons lost, okay? There were nine quarterbacks in the NFL over the weekend, from Thursday through Monday. Day-day, there were nine quarterbacks that took at least four sacks. So nine quarterbacks took four sacks. Now, I know you know what the number is because I put it on the rundown, but let's give can we have the Jeopardy music for just a few seconds, you know, worth the, you know, the final Jeopardy, you know, theme and all that kind of stuff. So nine quarterbacks took at least four sacks over this particular NFL weekend. I ask you in listener land, what do you think the record for those teams were in the nine games where a quarterback took a sack? Do we have the Jeopardy theme that we can play for just a couple of seconds? Da 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 da. Yeah, we don't have computers anymore. We don't have audio that works. We don't have. Okay. All right. Well, yeah, we can't. So here we go. Let's give it a few seconds. Da 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 da. All right, I won't hold you in suspense anymore. Quarterbacks that took four or more sacks over the weekend, Thursday through Monday, they were 1-8. Do you know, Day-Day, do you have any idea what the only win was for a quarterback's team that took four or more sacks? That would have been Gardner Minshew and the Colts, who he took five sacks in the game. Problem is, the team they played, the Baltimore Ravens, Lamar Jackson took four sacks of his own. So, again, the only way that a team won a game where a quarterback took four or more sacks was you had to play another team that had a quarterback that took four or more sacks. 1-8. You think that's random coincidence, folks? You think that's just some happenstance number out of the blue, out of left field, doesn't mean anything? 1-8 if you took four sacks. And the only win was because both quarterbacks took at least four sacks. Somebody had to win in a game like that. Somebody had to win. Some team had to win taking four sacks because both quarterbacks took it. Go look around the league at the teams. Matt Stafford last night, they lost. Desmond Ridder lost. Lost. And by the way, Justin Fields didn't even take four sacks. Think about that. What's his name? Who's the quarterback for Tennessee? They took four sacks because Myles Garrett just goes nuts. But again, 1-8 for teams that took four sacks or more in a game. You can look it up. Go through real quick the scores in this week's NFL just to kind of see, just to give you an idea. What do I keep telling you? One of these days, you're going to have to come up with something that counters my argument. Anyway, we'll get more into that coming up here in the next segment. All right, Braves are on their last six games. So the Braves are four up on the Dodgers with six to play. And I guess the magic number is what, three? Are we still concerned about the best overall record? We still concerned about the division? We still concerned about all these things? Now, again, the numbers keep piling up. The Braves now pass the 2003 Braves for runs scored in a season in the modern era. Again, in 1888 or whatever, they scored more runs. But 909 runs coming into tonight's game. That's the modern-day record. They beat the 907 runs that the 2003 team. And I will say, I never thought I would see a better offense than that 2003 Braves team. Now, I've been here for 30 years. That's three decades. And I've seen pretty much all of the Braves run, except for 93 and part of 94. Or I should say, 91, 92, and part of 93, because I moved here in 93. I never thought I would see a better offense than the 2003 Braves. This is a better offense. This is the deepest lineup. And look, and we've got Justin Toscano we're going to talk to at 7:40 tonight, because I ask him this question. More surprising season, Orlando Arcia or Marcell Ozuna? Marcell Ozuna's very close to being 40 and 100. 40 and 100. He's at 36 and 90 now. Even if he doesn't do a single solitary thing, anybody see 36 and 90 coming from Marcell Ozuna? Oh, after he had the, what was it? I think it was day-to-day, he was 8 for 55 to start the season. 36 and 90, 40 and 101, 21 and 72, 37 and 96, 17 and 64 for Arcia, 32 and 104 for Ozzie, 53 and 133 for Matt Olson, 21 and 68. And for Craps and Giggles, 11 and 39 for Travis d'Arnaud in a backup role where he only played 71 games. It's been remarkable. It's been a remarkable season for the Braves. Now, we'll talk more about the pitching coming up here at the top of the 9 o'clock hour because, okay, I'll say it, I'm concerned. Again, and I'm not as concerned as I was going through the Philadelphia series next year, but let me tell you, best thing the Braves could do would be to get a 1-0 start in whatever series they play, whoever the team is that they play. Go up 1-0, especially in a short series. Like, I don't want to hear, I don't want Leo straggling around with visions in my head of, anything can happen in a short series. Anything can happen in a short series. I don't want to have those feelings again. I don't want to have those kinds of dreams. Because you will have to pitch. Like, you're not going to be able to, you know, we've talked with, you know, several baseball guys. You know, it's not easy to just slug your way through to the World Series. It's just not easy. It just doesn't really happen. At some point, you got to have some pitching, right? And you got to have some healthy pitching. But it's been a remarkable season for this Atlanta Braves club. 100 wins, you know, obviously, you know, sitting right now with 100 wins, 56 losses, up 4 over the Dodgers as we go into tonight. Obviously, division in hand. The division was never really any doubt for this season. They'll have the best record in baseball, and we'll see what happens. I mean, again, and this is one of those times where all the pressure is on the Braves because they are the overwhelming favorite. You can say what you want, but they are the best team in baseball by tons. And I'll even say that over the Dodgers. Dodgers aren't nearly as deep. Dodgers have a lot of high-caliber personnel. Did you see the stat, Day-Day? Freddie Freeman has the most doubles for a player in his first 2 years on a baseball team. I don't care if it's rookie, trade, free agent, whatever. He has the most doubles for a player in the first 2 years of a new team.
Yep.
I mean, I think it's 103 or something like that. I mean, it's an absurd number. He has 57 doubles on the year. Maybe that's why he scored 125 runs for a slow-moving first baseman. Who, by the way, only has 26. It's not like he has 58 homers. He's only got 26 homers on the season. You know what else he has, though? He's got 22 steals. He's, listen to this, Day-Day. He's 22 for 23. He's been caught one time in 23 stolen base opportunities. 22 and 1. You know, they say if you're at least 2-1 in stolen bases, it's not a net negative. Anything less than 2-1 is supposedly a net negative. Like, you're costing your team runs at that point when you get thrown out that much. He's 22 out of 23 with 125 runs scored. And obviously, look, they've had some monster numbers as well. Max Muncy's had a monster year, although he's only hitting .214, but he's 36-103. Obviously, J.D. Martinez has provided a lot of pop in their lineup. Obviously, Mookie Betts has been, you know, right there neck and neck with Ronald Acuna Jr., but again, I still think Ronnie's the MVP of the league. And that's maybe my personal bias, but I think when you look at who's had the better overall season, I think it's been Ronald Acuna Jr. It's been an unprecedented season. And he's benefited from the bottom of that lineup churning things over. So, again, I think the Braves are the clear-cut favorite, and the pressure is going to be on them now to make sure that they capitalize on all this. This has to be at least World Series because this is the best Braves team, arguably. I mean, it may not make itself as far as total wins go, but this offense is just ridiculously good, and their pitching has been really good. And I hope that certainly doesn't go away. I mean, I certainly hope that, you know, again, they get to the NLCS. You have Charlie Morton back, Max Fried dealing with his blister. You know, Bryce Elder's still around. He's going to pitch tonight. Elder makes a start tonight. You know, and Elder's had a nice year. Look, he's 12-4 with a 3.63 ERA. He's pitched 171 innings for this club this year. That's doing some work. And I know how good they are. I know they're a really good team. But still, 12-4 with a 3.63 ERA, that's good numbers. Especially for a guy who's looked at as, whatever, fourth starter. You know, again, if you figure Fried, Morton, Strider, it was supposed to be Kyle Wright. You figure Elder was a guy who probably fourth or fifth on the starter poll. But 12-4 with a 3.63 ERA, he's been terrific. And obviously, what can you say about Strider? He's 19-5 with 274 strikeouts in 181 and two-thirds innings. By the way, he only needs two strikeouts. No, I think it's three strikeouts to break Smoltz's. I think Smoltz had 276 in 95, I believe it was. Or 95 or 96. I'll have to look that number up. But he's within a handful. He's within one hand worth of strikeouts from setting the Braves' single-season record, at least modern day. Again, I think John Clarkson had 300 strikeouts in about 385 innings or something ridiculous, right? Look at some of the numbers from old-time baseball. Guys would throw 300 and 400. Jack Chesbro had a year where he threw 400 innings. 400 innings. You should win 25 games if you throw 400 innings and you never come out and you have 45 complete games or whatever. You should have those kinds of numbers. But anyway, all right, when we get back, thoughts about the Falcons. I mean, it wasn't pretty. Things to be concerned about? Yes. Things to be overly concerned about? No. Big game Sunday in London, 9:30 start. Chuckery in the Kia Studios, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the Odyssey.com app.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. It's about getting the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. And to find candidates who match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. Stop struggling to get your job post even seen on other sites. Give your job the best chance to be seen with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. They help you stand out and hire quality candidates who can drive the results you need. Sponsored Jobs boost your post for quality candidates, so you can reach the exact people you want faster. Join the 1.6 million companies that sponsor their jobs with Indeed. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10-7 through 12-1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Sports Radio 92.9, The Game, back at a Chuckery Show, hanging out at the Kia Studios Tuesday night with you. 404-726-0929. That's both our phone line and our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line if you want to be on the show and give us your thoughts about what we saw over the weekend, especially on Sunday in this Falcons game. You can do that on the phone line, or it's our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. We'll talk to Justin Toscano coming up in about 20 minutes from right now. You know, I know everybody had their thoughts about why the Falcons lost. That's play calling. Well, it's our shiny objects. It's our quarterback. It's our, we didn't run the football, this, that, and the other. Can I tell you, this game really wasn't all that hard to figure out. You could talk about all the shiny toys and the play calling and all these other kinds of things. Remember when we talked about reading previews about the Falcons? Day-Day, do you remember when I brought up, it was one of the former general managers, and he talked about, do we have enough guys that influence the game at the most important positions?
Yep.
Okay. The most important positions are your offensive and defensive line. And you know what? We didn't win either battle. Either battle. Let's start with the offense. Again, we could talk about play calling, but you have to pass block better. You have to run block better. If your offensive line can't get it cranked up, even in what they do best, and you give up six sacks for a team that had one sack going into that game. If you give up six sacks, you're not doing your job. By the way, all five offensive linemen were credited with a sack in that game, with giving up a sack. Lindstrom, McGarry, Bergeron, Dahlman, Matthews. All five guys were credited for giving up a sack in that game. You couldn't run block. You couldn't pass block to save your life. And I know we're throwing it around. I don't understand that. A lot of questions for Arthur Smith. If I was up at Flowery Branch, I'd have a lot of questions. So that's that part of the game. You didn't do anything to control the offensive line of scrimmage, and you made guys like, I don't know, Aiden Hutchinson look like Micah Parsons all of a sudden, who, by the way, didn't have a sack coming into that game. Him and Brian Burns were the two most dominant players on that defense. Let's flip over to the defensive side. The Lions had their starting running back out, and at one point, four offensive linemen injured. Four offensive linemen injured. And yet, for a quarterback that threw it 33 times, he didn't get sacked one time. 33 pass attempts, not one sack. You think that's controlling the defensive line of scrimmage? When he's picking you apart for a 67% clip, he was 71%, 71.4% in the first half, averaging 10 yards per attempt. 10 yards per attempt. That ain't getting it done. Oh, well, they only gave up this many points. They had four offensive linemen out of the game. You think you call the same game when you have four offensive linemen not playing? And you're starting running back? You don't. But they were able to succeed. They picked our defense apart. They picked our defense apart. You think Jared Goff didn't have his way with our defense? 243 yards and 115 rushing yards. They had their way with our defense. Again, he left plenty of plays on the table. He had that one play where he had a guy running free. We talk about the one with Pitts. Jared Goff had a guy running free where Bates missed the coverage. And again, it didn't hurt them because he missed them. But that would have been a surefire touchdown. But when you can't control the lines of scrimmage in an NFL game, it isn't that hard. It isn't that hard to figure out why we lose. When your offensive line and your defensive line can't get anything done and you can't take advantage of it, you can talk about all the shiny toys and all the quarterbacks and all the play calling, and the game is still won at the trenches. That's why I brought that stat up. Teams that took four sacks or more, 1-8. You think that's random coincidence, huh? You think that's just some number that's made up out of left field? When you don't win at the line of scrimmage on your offensive and defensive side of the football, you're going to struggle. I don't care who you play. And by the way, this may be the best team we end up seeing all season long. It may be the best team we see. Because I don't think the Jets are going to be anything now. And at Jacksonville right now is struggling. I mean, they are struggling mightily. This may be the best team we see. But you know what? If you don't win at either line of scrimmage in that game, in an NFL game, you're going to get what you deserve. You're not going to succeed. I don't care about all your shiny objects and all your toys and all this other and all these play calls and all this other kind of stuff and your quarterback and all that kind of stuff. If you can't win at the line of scrimmage on either side of the football, you're in trouble. And guess what? We were in trouble all game long. Do you really think that there was ever a point where it looked like we were going to win that game? Was there ever a point that it felt like we were in control of that game and we were going to win that game? Because they did what they wanted on their offense, and they had our number on their defensive line. And that's the NFL. You don't have to get more complicated than the idea of, well, we don't win at the line of scrimmage, so we can just work our way through it. No, you can't. You can't. You can't work your way through it if you don't win on either side of the line of scrimmage. The game is not more complicated than that. And both our offensive and defensive lines were poor. You can make up all the other excuses for all the other things. But when your offensive line can't get any push, they can't pass block, and your defensive line can't get home against a team that had four guys missing. Four offensive linemen missing in that game that at some point were on the sidelines. They had some guy playing guard out of William and Mary, for God's sakes. William and Mary and Ashford and Simpson or whoever was playing guard at some point. That's what they had to trot out there. You're not going to win those games. And guess what? If you can't win at the line of scrimmage against Jacksonville, you're going to lose that game too. You're going to lose that game too. So we've got to get back to what we do best, run block with our offensive line. At this point, the pass blocking, again, it's mind-boggling. And we talked about this with McGarry. McGarry's dreadful. He's a dreadful offensive lineman. And by the way, Drew Dolman gets pushed all around. Nobody wants to admit that Drew Dolman gets pushed all around as an undersized center. And Bergeron didn't play well either. What happens when you have a not-so-good center and a rookie guard? Gee, didn't we see that 2 years ago? What do you think's going to happen? You're asking for trouble. Keep those guys north and south. And I'm not even going to get into, again, at what point do we acknowledge, or what's the breaking point to say that the pick wasn't necessary, the pick of the three? Because there were three guys in 2020 in that draft 3 years ago. It was Kyle Pitts, Penei Sewell, Micah Parsons. That was the three guys that made sense for the Falcons. Did we pick the right guy? I'm not blaming it all on Kyle Pitts. I still think he's injured. I think that play over the middle where Ridder missed him, I think that he can't sprint it out as fast on that knee. That's not Kyle Pitts's, you know, problem. Again, you have to factor that in. Maybe he can't go full out. But at what point do we say that maybe wasn't the best of those three picks? I know it wasn't better than Micah Parsons. That's obvious at this point. That's obvious at this point. Micah Parsons is a way better football player and has way more impact on NFL games than what Kyle Pitts does. The jury's still out on Penei Sewell, but he's been pretty good too. And Pitts has been pretty good when he's healthy and up to speed and all that. But it's not complicated, folks. It's really not. You can distract yourself from all of these other things. Talk about all of these other things. But if you don't win at the line of scrimmage, you're not going to be successful. You're not. In the NFL, we can have fun with the clips from Josh Kendall and all these other kinds of things. And we could talk about the offensive line, how good we are. We're an elite run-blocking offensive line. The numbers bear it out. I can sit you down and show you all the numbers that bear out we're an elite-level run-blocking offensive line. At some point, you have to throw the football, though. Now, you don't have to throw it 38 times in a game. I don't think that was smart. But you do have to throw the football. You're not going to win in the NFL being one-dimensional. Because you know what happens? Defenses tee off on you. We tee off on offenses in the first two games that found themselves in a one-dimensional system. especially in the first game. They got up by two touchdowns. They came right after Bryce Young. And what happened? Close that game out. It's over. Katie barred the door. But it's frustrating because some of these same things that we see. And I saw an article today. Well, you know, the Falcons are, you know, have the second most hurries and all this kind of stuff. That stuff doesn't mean anything, folks. You can have the most hurries and all this kind of stuff. It doesn't amount to a hill of beans. If you can't get home and sack the quarterback and change up down and distance, you know, part of the reason why we were in our offense is because we never stayed ahead of the chains. If you can't change down and distance, you know the other thing too, Day-Day? I believe it was we had six or seven possessions that started from the 25 and in. You had no field position all day. Why? Because they could move the ball. We couldn't. You think that matters in the field position matters in the NFL? Go look at where most playoff teams start with their field position.
Yeah, you talk about it all the time, down and distance.
Yeah, not just down and distance, but field position wise. Most of your better teams start at the 30 and beyond.
Yeah.
If you have six drives, you're asking your rookie quarterback, basically a rookie quarterback, to drive 75 yards down the length of the field. How many of those kind of drives are you going to have? Like, if you have six possessions that are from the 25 and in, how many 75, 80-yard drives do you think he's gonna muster up? Now, again, he didn't take advantage of the off the turnover in the one drive. And, by the way, that was the drive of the game. That was the drive that closed out the game when they went four and out. And he was overthrowing London on that fourth down play. But you have to win at the line of scrimmage. It's not harder than that. It's really not. It's not harder than if you don't win at the line of scrimmage, you're going to struggle. And the Falcons struggled because they didn't win on either side of the line of scrimmage on Sunday. And guess what? We lost by two touchdowns. Justin Toscano, when we come back, Braves beat writer for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. Checker in the Kia Studios, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the Odyssey.com app. Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. It is John Chuckery Show coming to you live on this Tuesday evening as, well, Braves are hosting Dansby Swanson and the Chicago Cubs as things are wrapping up for the season. Braves have their 100th win under their belt, and the magic number is down to three games for the best record overall. Let's head out to the WadeFord.com hotline, Atlanta's Ford dealer. Let's talk to our buddy Justin Toscano. He is the Braves beat writer for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. You can check out all of his work at AJC.com and follow him on Twitter at Justin C. Toscano. Justin, as always, buddy, appreciate a few minutes with me on the show this evening.
Yeah, of course, John. How you doing, man?
Man, I'm great, and I'm certainly better than some of the things going on with our pitching staff right now. You know, look, Justin.
Yeah.
Justin. I know it's not the same thing as last year, where we had guys throwing up in a bucket, and we're struggling to come back from oblique injuries and all that kind of stuff. But the perception, they always say perception has the same effect as truth. And I think for a lot of Braves fans, we just feel like this is starting to just kind of go back down that road. So maybe talk me a little bit off the ledge that this is not going to end up, you know, with kind of our pitching worries as we go into the postseason this year.
Yeah, no, of course. And like I understand that, because even though the Braves won the World Series in 21, this year has gone so well that the first, I guess, sign of this year, the postseason, that was only the question, right? It's like, is this team going to be able to keep it together before then? We know unlucky things happen. So I guess in the attempt to talk you off the ledge, I would probably start with, if Charlie Morton's finger sprain is as advertised and he's back for the LCS, if they advance, I like their chances because of this. So now the built-in off day in that series is on the NL side now, whereas it was the AL side last year. So you've got an off day after game one, an off day after game two for that travel day, and an off day after game four. So here's what that means. You can go, if you want to, you can go Max Fried and Spencer Strider in four of those five games. You only need three starters in that series, tops, if you play the off days like that. But then, of course, that hinges on the Max Fried question, right? I think this is something that he will be able to manage. I mean, it's not, you know, you'd feel worse if there were an injury. A blister can be nasty and it can pop up. And, yes, we will have to see how it is when he comes out of that presumable, like, game one start. But this is a blister, not a forearm sprain, not, you know, a finger sprain, not an elbow sprain. This is something manageable. They caught it now, you know, they can work on it. And he's got 2 full weeks to be at his best. And he's, you know, still throwing, still keeping his arm going. He's going to be fine. So that's what I would say, is I think this team is so good that if they pitch decently, they will be able to win, you know, every game. And I really think that, look, like, yeah, Charlie would be a big loss if he didn't pitch again in the postseason. But if he can be ready for that LCS, I think you've got a good chance of lining up your pitching to get there. And even if Fried isn't, you know, 100% or fully sharp, I think you've got enough depth to win 3 games in a series, especially because your offense is so good and those off days really allow you to maneuver things. So I think this is really, it's unfortunate, and I see it as, you know, I understand why fans are panicking, but if this were an up-and-coming, upstart team, I would say to worry more. But these guys, you know, they've just won 100 games for the second time, you know, consecutive years for the first time in 20 years. They're breaking all these records. Sure, none of that matters in the postseason, but the guys who did it will be in the postseason. And so this is the best team you could hope to have. They're the best roster in baseball. And, you know, this isn't far too much to overcome, especially when you consider that last year, you know, Fried's thing was not controllable. And then Strider was pitching after a month off, basically, just because of that oblique injury. So I think, in the short term, this is a lot more doable.
Justin, you know, how much have the Braves talked about, you know, you mentioned the records. They've set the modern, the modern era, I guess 20th century and beyond, a modern era record for runs scored. I mean, Ronnie and Olson have obviously had magical years doing things that, you know, haven't been done before. They obviously still have a chance to hit the most home runs in baseball history. Like, how much of that conversation has gone on in the clubhouse and with the players? Like, how cognizant are they about all of these records that are being set this year?
Yeah, obviously it's not front of mind, right? Like, I think they know when it happens because us and all the fans are telling them about it. They're aware of it. They're aware of Olson. They're aware of Acuna. They're aware of, you know, the team home run records when we tell them. But I think the really special thing about this team is that and every team says it, but I truly get the sense it's the case here that they just don't care. Like, they care about the record. They care about winning. They care more about the guy next to them than themselves and their own numbers and posting. You know, they care about posting, but they don't care about, you know, their own numbers being, you know, record-breaking. They want to win. Like, if it helps them win, they'll do it. I think they've proven that time and again. But look, like, anybody who says they haven't thought about it, especially, like, you know, I know Smith's, you know, down in it, so maybe he hasn't had a ton of time to digest that stuff. But I know Alex Anthopoulos said, like, after they clinched the division in Philly, I mean, he said, you know, when he was talking to Smith's office, said, like, yeah, like, you know, you're always in the moment, you're always working hard, and you're always trying to do the next thing. But he even said that, like, he's had a chance to, like, kind of stop a little bit, has to always, you know, has to kind of take a second to look and smell the roses. And he listed things. He's like, yeah, we had 8 All-Stars for the first time in franchise history. We had, you know, this guy did this. This guy did that. This guy did that. Like, we've had all these things that I think they're really aware of it. And I think that it all contributes to, like, maybe, you know, the players and the coaches don't think about it every day, but I think they know how special this season has been. And I think they know that, look, when you show up in most clubhouses in February and spring training, whether it be in Florida or Arizona, you're not going to have this many records broken. Your team probably isn't going to be remembered among the best teams in franchise history and in baseball history, perhaps. So I do think that they're very aware of it from that perspective. They might not know specifics all the time, but I think, I mean, they, you know, hear stuff, and then in the dugout, they'll talk about things circulating, you know, if it's a record or, you know, they'll know. But I think even if they're not focused on it, you know, and don't let them say they're not aware of it, because I truly think they are. How could you not be? I mean, they're human beings, and I think everybody understands how special this year has been, which is why they so badly want to finish it off with the World Series.
Yeah, and obviously it's yeah, I don't mean to say it this way, but it's thrown in your face every day, right? I mean, you can't turn on anything Braves related and not see Matt Olson chasing down Andrew Jones's record and this and that. So again, you almost can't not help but be cognizant of it. Justin Toscano joining us here on the WadeFord.com hotline, Braves beat writer for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. If I ask you this question, who do you think has had a bigger surprise year? Orlando Arcia with what he's done, or Marcell Ozuna with what he's done?
Ooh, yeah, that's a good one. You know what? Oh, man. Dang, that's a good one. Because for me, Arcia was this guy that was going to bat 250 and, you know, maybe he'd have some home runs and he'd play some great defense. He's exceeded expectations, obviously. I thought Ozuna could do this, but I didn't think he could do it to this level. I'm going to say Ozuna, and here's why I say that. Because, like, I think that when I heard that the Braves believed in Arcia's bat a little more than the play it was getting, you know, in the media or with fans, I can see that. That is very logical to me. What is not logical to me is that a guy that starts 4 for 55 – literally, I think I did, like, what was it, 5 for 59 or 4 for 55 at the beginning of the season. I mashed that up. Marcell Ozuna was one of only 3 players to start that poorly over his first, you know, such and such games since, like, 1995. I think that's the more surprising one, because you're talking about a guy who almost just hit 40 bombs after a year in which he struggled, after people wondered if they would be FAM, and then, not to mention, after he started this year so brutally as well. So, like, I would say that's been the greater surprise. Not that I think he couldn't do it, because I think, like, the Braves have been, you know, internally very optimistic that he could get back to a season like this because of what they saw last year, and because it's not like he's at the age where he would decline and things like that. But I did not think that you would see, like, I thought, okay, maybe, you know, 25 bombs, 20 bombs, 37, 38, 39, maybe he gets 40. Like, I didn't see that coming. And I think to me, Arcia has been just unreal. But I think the amount he's exceeded, I could see this. If the Braves thought he was good enough to play at shortstop, that he was a better option than Vaughn Grissom, I would think, okay, whatever. Play some good defense, hit well. He's exceeded expectations. But, I mean, I think you have to look at, for me, where I turn it back is the start that Ozuna had, that April he had, man. I thought maybe he'd get it going a little bit, but to this degree – I mean, the guy's got, you know, an 800, mid-800s, 900 OPS since then. Like, it's been unreal. And I think that, to me, that's been more surprising, because after that April, you're thinking, like, man, this has been since 2020 that this guy hasn't been who they thought he was. And you're wondering if it's ever going to happen at that point. And for it to have happened, I mean, he's been one of the best hitters in baseball since then. And, I mean, on a team that's had 2 MVP candidates. So I think Ozuna to me.
You know, Justin, I don't believe he's going to win. But when you look at the season that Strider has had, I mean, look, it's going to be probably a 20-win season. It's probably going to be pushing toward 300 strikeouts. where do you think he finishes kind of in the Cy Young? If we think Snell and the kid for the Cubs that's in this year, Justin Steele, I mean, where do you think Strider fits into that? Because, again, 20 games and 300 strikeouts, like you talk about 40-40 and all those kinds of things. I mean, we don't see that in baseball either. Like for all the offense we see, we don't see 20 wins and potentially 300 strikeouts very often from a pitcher nowadays.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think that's the one thing, like, I was thinking about, because we were talking about this one time when I was on after a series in Chicago, which that would have been early August, and I thought then, like, hey, if Snell and Steele, if those ERAs get up there a little bit, then I think Strider would probably win it based on the fact that you can see that most of the damage comes from home runs, his average against is good, his whip's better, strikeouts, all that stuff, like, But I think obviously the ERA can't be, you know, a run and change worse than the other guys and finish first. So if those two finish, I think he finishes third, honestly, because I think he's close enough. I think he finishes third, but fourth at worst, because I think he's close enough to, now I haven't gone over this, but I think he's close enough to Zach Gallen now where you can probably say, like, okay, the strikeouts are going to carry him over. Because I just think, yeah, you look at 20 wins, which, by the way, like, not everybody who votes for these awards is 25 years old, you know? Like, some people still care about those pitcher wins because it shows that, you know, you're giving your team a chance. You're going semi-deep into games. People look at quality starts. Like, I think he's got all of that. Like, when you're looking at even Strider's, like, off starts, you're like, a start that's not that great for him most times is 6 innings and 4 runs, and he could still get the win. So it's like he's given his team a chance. The strikeouts are, I mean, he's just so far ahead of everybody, especially when you look at the fastest. I don't know if voters will take this specifically, but the fastest to 200 strikeouts is like breaking his own record. I mean, like, come on. Like, that's insane. That's just ridiculous to do, you know, to do that twice and break his own record. I think he finishes third, but I would say fourth at the worst because I just think those strikeout numbers are way too gaudy and eye-popping to – really, I mean, I think to me that forgives a little bit of the ERA because at least he's limiting outcomes if he's striking out guys so much.
Last question for you, Justin. You know, has Raisel Iglesias maybe had one of the more unheralded years? I mean, you know, it's been a situation where it doesn't feel like we've spent so much time, and maybe that's just because the Braves have blown out so many people that, again, he's only got 30 saves, and I say that from a standpoint of, you know, maybe some of those games haven't been as close where he could get into 40, 45 saves. But I do think that he's had a really unheralded year. Like, he's really solidified that back end spot. And I think he's done a really good job with this team. It may not be some of the gaudy numbers, but he's been really good throughout the course of the season. And, again, having missed time early on in the year.
Right. No, I would agree. Like, I think – that was the one thing last year where I was like, okay, I know Kenley is not, you know, was not, that wasn't 2010, 2011, 2012 Kenley last year, but I wondered how Raisel was going to fare after they lost Kenley. Raisel had such a great second half of the season after the trade that you were thinking, okay, like, you know, this works, but let's see how he comes out. I think he's been remarkably consistent. I mean, if you take out those two games in Philly, and I mean, if you take out really three of his performances this year, I mean, the ERA goes way down. I mean, I think he's had just a remarkable year. I feel good about that. Like, if I'm the Braves going into the playoffs, like, I think in an era where there aren't that many dominant closers, like, I'm trying to think of the playoff field. You got Devin Williams in Milwaukee, Evan Phillips in L.A., you'd have Kimbrel in Philly. I don't think there's anybody with a distinct advantage over Raisel that would be closing games. And that's what makes me feel good is that, like, he's one of those guys where you don't have to worry about how you get the game to the ninth. Just get it to the ninth. And I think, like, yeah, he's had some ups and downs. But I really, really do think if you consider, like, we're all in the weeds on the Braves, so it's easy to say. But when he has a bad outing. But if you consider, like, most closers, like, he is better than most closers in the game. I mean, he's got elite stuff. He throws strikes, so sometimes, yes, things are going to happen. But I just think he's so good that's one of the areas, even though the bullpen's had some struggles here and there, I feel good if you just get it to the ninth. Like, I, you know, that's one of those guys you would want out there. The Braves aren't one of those teams that should have to worry about that.
Justin Toscano, he is the Braves beat writer for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. Check out his work at AJC.com and follow him on his personal Twitter page, at Justin C. Toscano.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. It's about getting the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. And to find candidates who match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. Stop struggling to get your job post even seen on other sites. Give your job the best chance to be seen with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. They help you stand out and hire quality candidates who can drive the results you need. Sponsored Jobs boost your post for quality candidates, so you can reach the exact people you want faster. Join the 1.6 million companies that sponsor their jobs with Indeed. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. It is John Chuckery Show coming to you live on this Tuesday evening as, well, Braves are hosting Dansby Swanson and the Chicago Cubs as things are wrapping up for the season. Braves have their 100th win under their belt, and the magic number is down to 3 games for the best record overall. Let's head out to the WadeFord.com hotline, Atlanta's Ford dealer. Let's talk to our buddy Justin Toscano. He is the Braves beat writer for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. You can check out all of his work at AJC.com and follow him on Twitter at Justin C. Toscano. Justin, as always, buddy, appreciate a few minutes with me on the show this evening.
Yeah, of course, John. How you doing, man?
Man, I'm great, and I'm certainly better than some of the things going on with our pitching staff right now. You know, look, Justin.
Yeah.
Justin. I know it's not the same thing as last year, where we had guys throwing up in a bucket, and we're struggling to come back from oblique injuries and all that kind of stuff. But the perception, they always say perception has the same effect as truth. And I think for a lot of Braves fans, we just feel like this is starting to just kind of go back down that road. So maybe talk me a little bit off the ledge that this is not going to end up, you know, with kind of our pitching worries as we go into the postseason this year.
Yeah, no, of course. And like I understand that, because even though the Braves won the World Series in 21, you know, this year has gone so well that the first, I guess, sign of this year, the postseason, that was only the question, right? It's like, is this team going to be able to keep it together before then? We know unlucky things happen. So I guess in the attempt to talk you off the ledge, I would probably start with, if Charlie Morton's finger sprain is as advertised and he's back for the LCS, if they advance, I like their chances because of this. So now the built-in off day in that series is on the NL side now, whereas it was the AL side last year. So you've got an off day after game one, an off day after game two for that travel day, and an off day after game four. So here's what that means. You can go, if you want to, you can go Max Fried and Spencer Strider in four of those five games. You only need three starters in that series, tops, if you play the off days like that. But then, of course, that hinges on the Max Fried question, right? I think this is something that he will be able to manage. I mean, it's not, you know, you'd feel worse if there were an injury. A blister can be nasty and it can pop up. And, yes, we will have to see how it is when he comes out of that presumable, like, game one start. But this is a blister, not a forearm sprain, not, you know, a finger sprain, not an elbow sprain. This is something manageable. They caught it now, you know, they can work on it. And he's got 2 full weeks to be at his best, and he's, you know, still throwing, still keeping his arm going. He's going to be fine. So that's what I would say, is I think this team is so good that if they pitch decently, they will be able to win, you know, every game. And I really think that, look, like, yeah, Charlie would be a big loss if he didn't pitch again in the postseason. But if he can be ready for that LCS, I think you've got a good chance of lining up your pitching to get there. And even if Fried isn't, you know, 100% or fully sharp, I think you've got enough depth to win three games in a series, especially because your offense is so good and those off days really allow you to maneuver things. So I think this is really, it's unfortunate, and I see it as, you know, I understand why fans are panicking, but if this were an up-and-coming, upstart team, I would say to worry more. But these guys, you know, they've just won 100 games for the second time, you know, consecutive years. For the first time in 20 years, they're breaking all these records. Sure, none of that matters in the postseason, but the guys who did it will be in the postseason. And so this is the best team you could hope to have. They're the best roster in baseball. And, you know, this isn't far too much to overcome, especially when you consider that last year, you know, Fried's thing was not controllable. And then Strider was pitching after a month off, basically, just because of that oblique injury. So I think, in the short term, this is a lot more doable.
Justin, you know, how much have the Braves talked about, you know, you mentioned the records. They've set the modern, the modern era, I guess 20th century and beyond, modern era record for runs scored. I mean, Ronnie and Olson have obviously had magical years doing things that, you know, haven't been done before. They obviously still have a chance to hit the most home runs in baseball history. Like, how much of that conversation has gone on in the clubhouse and with the players? Like, how cognizant are they about all of these records that are being set this year?
Yeah, obviously it's not front of mind, right? Like, I think they know when it happens because us and all the fans are telling them about it. They're aware of it. They're aware of Olson. They're aware of Acuna. They're aware of, you know, the team home run records when we tell them. But I think the really special thing about this team is that and every team says it, but I truly get the sense it's the case here that they just don't care. Like, they care about the record. They care about winning. They care more about the guy next to them than themselves and their own numbers and posting. You know, they care about posting, but they don't care about, you know, their own numbers being, you know, record-breaking. They want to win. Like, if it helps them win, they'll do it. I think they've proven that time and again. But look, like, anybody who says they haven't thought about it, especially, like, you know, I know Smith's, you know, down in it, so maybe he hasn't had a ton of time to digest that stuff. But I know Alex Anthopoulos said, like, after they clinched the division in Philly, I mean, he said, you know, when he was talking to Smith's office, said, like, yeah, like, you know, you're always in the moment, you're always working hard, and you're always trying to do the next thing. But he even said that, like, he's had a chance to, like, kind of stop a little bit and has to always, you know, has to kind of take a second to look and smell the roses. And he listed things. He's like, yeah, we had 8 All-Stars for the first time in franchise history. We had, you know, this guy did this, this guy did that, this guy did that. Like, we've had all these things that I think they're really aware of it. And I think that it all contributes to, like, maybe, you know, the players and the coaches don't think about it every day, but I think they know how special this season has been. And I think they know that, look, when you show up in most clubhouses in February and spring training, whether it be in Florida or Arizona, you're not going to have this many records broken. Your team probably isn't going to be remembered among the best teams in franchise history and baseball history, perhaps. So I do think that they're very aware of it from that perspective. They might not know specifics all the time, but I think, I mean, they, you know, hear stuff, and then in the dugout, they'll talk about things circulating, you know, if it's a record, or, you know, they'll know. But I think even if they're not focused on it, you know, and don't let them say they're not aware of it, because I truly think they are. How could you not be? I mean, they're human beings, and I think everybody understands how special this year has been, which is why they so badly want to finish it off with a World Series.
Yeah, and obviously it's yeah, I don't mean to say it this way, but it's thrown in your face every day, right? I mean, you can't turn on anything Braves related and not see Matt Olson chasing down Ronald or Andrew Jones's record and this and that. So again, you almost can't you know not help but be cognizant of it. Justin Toscano joining us here on the WadeFord.com hotline, Braves beat writer for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. If I ask you this question, who do you think has had a bigger surprise year? Orlando Arcia with what he's done, or Marcell Ozuna with what he's done?
Ooh, yeah, that's a good one. You know what? Oh, man. Dang, that's a good one. Because for me, Arcia was this guy that was going to bat 250 and, you know, maybe he'd have some home runs and he'd play some great defense. He's exceeded expectations, obviously. I thought Ozuna could do this, but I didn't think he could do it to this level. I'm going to say Ozuna. And here's why I say that. Because, like, I think that when I heard that the Braves believed in Arcia's bat a little more than the play it was getting, you know, in the media or with fans, I can see that. That is very logical to me. What is not logical to me is that a guy that starts 4 for 55, literally, I think I did, like, what was it, 5 for 59 or 4 for 55 at the beginning of the season. I mashed that up. Marcell Ozuna was one of only 3 players to start that poorly over his first, you know, such and such games since, like, 1995. I think that's the more surprising one, because you're talking about a guy who almost just hit 40 bombs after a year in which he struggled, after people wondered if they would be FAM, and then, not to mention, after he started this year so brutally as well. So, like, I would say that's been the greater surprise. Not that I think he couldn't do it, because I think, like, the Braves have been, you know, internally very optimistic that he could get back to a season like this because of what they saw last year, and because it's not like he's at the age where he would decline and things like that. But I did not think that you would see, like, I thought, okay, maybe, you know, 25 bombs, 20 bombs, 37, 38, 39, maybe he gets 40. Like, I didn't see that coming. And I think to me, Arcia has been just unreal. But I think the amount he's exceeded, I could see this. If the Braves thought he was good enough to play at shortstop, that he was a better option than Vaughn Grissom, I would think, okay, whatever, play some good defense, hit well. He's exceeded expectations, but I mean, I think you have to look at, for me, where I turn it back is the start that Ozuna had, that April he had, man. I thought maybe he'd get it going a little bit, but to this degree, I mean, the guy's got, you know, an 800, mid-800s, 900 OPS since then. Like, it's been unreal, and I think that, to me, that's been more surprising, because after that April, you're thinking, like, man, this has been since 2020 that this guy hasn't been who they thought he was. And you're wondering if it's ever going to happen at that point. And for it to have happened, I mean, he's been one of the best hitters in baseball since then. And, I mean, on a team that's had 2 MVP candidates. So I think Ozuna to me.
You know, Justin, I don't believe he's going to win. But when you look at the season that Strider has had, I mean, look, it's going to be probably a 20-win season. It's probably going to be pushing toward 300 strikeouts. Where do you think he finishes kind of in the Cy Young? If we think Snell and the kid for the Cubs that's in this year, Justin Steele. I mean, where do you think Strider fits into that? Because, again, 20 games and 300 strikeouts, like, you talk about 40-40 and all those kinds of things. I mean, we don't see that in baseball either. Like, for all the offense we see, we don't see 20 wins and potentially 300 strikeouts very often from a pitcher nowadays.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think that's the one thing, like, I was thinking about, because we were talking about this one time when I was on after a series in Chicago, which that would have been early August. And I thought then, like, hey, if Snell and Steele, if those ERAs get up there a little bit, then I think Strider would probably win it based on the fact that you can see that most of the damage comes from home runs. His average against is good. His whip's better. Strikeouts, all that stuff. Like, I think obviously the ERA can't be, you know, a run and change worse than the other guys and finish first. So if those two finish, I think he finishes third, honestly, because I think he's close enough. I think he finishes third, but fourth at worst, because I think he's close enough to, now I haven't gone over this, but I think he's close enough to Zach Gallen now, where you can probably say, like, okay, the strikeouts are going to carry him over. Because I just think, yeah, you look at 20 wins, which, by the way, like, not everybody who votes for these awards is 25 years old, you know? Like, some people still care about those pitcher wins because it shows that, you know, you're giving your team a chance. You're going semi-deep into games. People look at quality starts. Like, I think he's got all of that. Like, when you're looking at even Strider's, like, off starts, you're like, a start that's not that great for him most times is 6 innings and 4 runs, and he could still get the win. So it's like he's given his team a chance. The strikeouts are, I mean, he's just so far ahead of everybody, especially when you look at the fastest. I don't know if voters will take this specifically, but the fastest to 200 strikeouts is like breaking his own record. I mean, like, come on. Like, that's insane. That's just ridiculous to do, you know, to do that twice and break his own record. I think he finishes third, but I would say fourth at the worst, because I just think those strikeout numbers are way too gaudy and eye-popping to really, I mean, I think to me that forgives a little bit of the ERA, because at least he's limiting outcomes if he's striking out guys so much.
Last question for you, Justin. You know, has Raisel Iglesias maybe had one of the more unheralded years? I mean, you know, it's been a situation where it doesn't feel like we've spent so much time, and maybe that's just because the Braves have blown out so many people, that, again, he's only got 30 saves, and I say that from a standpoint of, you know, maybe some of those games haven't been as close where he could get into 40, 45 saves. But I do think that he's had a really unheralded year. Like, he's really solidified that back end spot, and I think he's done a really good job with this team. It may not be some of the gaudy numbers, but he's been really good throughout the course of the season. And, again, having missed time early on in the year.
Right. No, I would agree. Like, I think that was the one thing last year where I was like, okay, I know Kenley is not, you know, was not, that wasn't 2010, 2011, 2012 Kenley last year, but I wondered how Raisel was going to fare after they lost Kenley. Raisel had such a great second half of the season after the trade that you were thinking, okay, like, you know, this works, but let's see how he comes out. I think he's been remarkably consistent. I mean, if you take out those two games in Philly, and I mean, if you take out really three of his performances this year, I mean, the ERA goes way down. I mean, I think he's had just a remarkable year. I feel good about that. Like, if I'm the Braves going into the playoffs, like, I think in an era where there aren't that many dominant closers, like, I'm trying to think of the playoff field. You got Devin Williams in Milwaukee, Evan Phillips in L.A., you'd have Kimbrel in Philly. I don't think there's anybody with a distinct advantage over Raisel that would be closing games. And that's what makes me feel good, is that, like, he's one of those guys where you don't have to worry about how you get the game to the ninth, just get it to the ninth. And I think, like, yeah, he's had some ups and downs, but I really, really do think if you consider, like, we're all in the weeds on the Braves, so it's easy to say, but when he has a bad outing, but if you consider, like, most closers, like, he is better than most closers in the game. I mean, he's got elite stuff. He throws strikes, so sometimes, yes, things are going to happen. But I just think he's so good that's one of the areas, even though the bullpen's had some struggles here and there, I feel good if you just get it to the ninth. Like, I, you know, that's one of those guys you would want out there. The Braves aren't one of those teams that should have to worry about that.
Justin Toscano, he is the Braves beat writer for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. Check out his work at AJC.com and follow him on his personal Twitter page, at Justin C. Toscano. Justin, as always, buddy, appreciate a few minutes on the show. We will certainly chat again with you here soon.
Yep, you got it, John. Take care.
You got it. John Chuck, we will be back. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey.com app.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10/7 through 12/1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Once upon a mundane morning, Barb's day got busy without warning. A realtor in need of an open house sign? No, 50 of them. And designed before 9.
My head hurts.
Any mighty tools to help with this plight?
Aha!
Barb made her move. She opened Canva and got in the groove.
Bulk creating Canva sheets. Create 50 signs fit for suburban streets.
Done in a click. All complete.
Sweet!
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at Canva.com.
At City Harvest, we believe no New Yorker has to go hungry. With your help, we're on the road every day, rescuing over 86 million pounds of nutritious food and delivering it free to millions of New Yorkers, transforming surplus food into sustenance, sustainability, and smiles, rallying thousands of New Yorkers to power a network of nourishment across our city. Feed good for our communities, our city, and our planet. Donate at cityharvest.org.